Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Prevajaka Charja Asto Terasata Sushi Maharaj Divine Grace Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chayavam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jaya Hudirayat Nashta Prayesu Madresu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavata Uttamasloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So as was explained earlier, this is a continuation of the instruction given by the nine Yogendras, Nava Yogendras, to Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi was the king of Videha, and the Nava Yogendras are sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev, who had made it their business to travel around creation, material world. They could also go to the spiritual world, and they were preaching Krishna's glories. They were preaching from the Vedas and elevating people's consciousness. So they came to see Maharaj Nimi, and there was a sacrifice going on, a yagya going on, but Maharaj Nimi interrupted it to ask questions, nine questions from the nine Nava Yogendras, so each one of them could answer one question. So we are at the first question. The question was, what is the highest good? And Sri Kavi, who is one of the nine Yogendras, is answering that question. So that's where we are. So we continue in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 35. Yan astaya naro rajan na pamadyeta karhichet dhavan nimilya vanitre nashkalan napated iha. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word anjaha, easily, which is used in the previous verse, is explained in this verse. He states, anja pade noktam sukaratvam divrinuti. By the word anja, the ease of performing bhakti yoga is established, and this will be elaborated in the present verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 2, the Lord Himself states, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartum Avyayam. The process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal, and it is very joyfully and naturally performed. Srila Prabhupada comments, the process of devotional service is a very happy one. Why? Devotional service consists of Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 23. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge given by authorized acharyas. Simply by sitting, one can learn. Then one can eat the remnants of the food offered to God, nice palatable dishes. In every state, devotional service is joyful. One can execute devotional service even in the most poverty-stricken condition. The Lord says, Patram Pushvam Phalam Toyam. He is ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering, never mind what, even a leaf, a flower, a bit of fruit or a little water, which are all available in every part of the world, can be offered by any person regardless of social position, and will be accepted if offered with love. There are many instances of this in history. Simply by tasting the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages like Sanat Kumara became great devotees. Therefore, the devotional process is very nice and it can be executed in a happy mood. God accepts only the love with which things are offered to Him. The essential point to be understood here is that when a living entity surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he tells the Lord, "My dear Lord, although I am most sinful and unqualified, and for so long have been trying to forget you, now I am taking shelter at your lotus feet. From this day on, I am yours. Whatever I possess, my body, mind, words, family, riches, I am now offering at your lotus feet. Please do with me as you like." The Supreme Lord Krishna has repeatedly given assurance in Bhagavad Gita that he will protect and redeem such a surrendered living entity, bringing him back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life in the Lord's own kingdom. Thus, the qualification of surrendering to the Lord is so great and spiritually potent that even if a surrendered soul is deficient in other aspects of pious life, his elevated status is protected by the Lord himself. In other processes, however, such as yoga, because one depends on his own determination and intelligence and does not actually seek shelter of the Lord, one is subject to fall at any moment, being protected only by one's own flimsy, limited potency. Therefore, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 32, Aruhya Krishrena Param Padam Tata Padantyatho Nadrita Yusmad Angraya. If one gives up the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and instead tries to advance in the yoga process by one's own determination, or if one tries to make progress in knowledge by one's own speculative power, surely one would eventually fall again to a mediocre material platform, having no protection other than one's own fallible strength. Therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas, in their commentaries on this verse, have illustrated in various ways the vast superiority of Bhakti Yoga or pure devotional service. In this connection, Shrida Swami states, "Nimilya netre bhavan api iha eshu bhagavata dharmeshu nas kalet nimilamam namagyanam yatatku shruti smriti uhe netre vipranam parikirtite ekena vikala kano dvabhyam andha prakirtita iti." Even if running with both eyes closed, a devotee on this path of Bhagavad Dharma will not stumble. Closing one's eyes refers to being in ignorance of the standard Vedic literatures. As it is said, the Shruti and Smriti scriptures are the two eyes of the Brahmanas. Lacking one of them, a Brahmana is half blind, and deprived of both, he is considered completely blind. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, texts 10 and 11, the Lord has clearly stated that even if a devotee is lacking in Vedic knowledge or ignorant of Vaishnava literature, the Lord personally enlightens him from within the heart if the devotee is actually engaged in loving service to the Lord. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada states, when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. They are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literature or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. Yet this facility given by the Lord cannot justify unauthorized concoctions put forward about the process of devotional service in the name of spontaneous devotion. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated, Bhagavat Praptiyatam Pritan Marga Karanam Tu Ati Dushanabaham Eva. If one manufactures his own process of devotional service for the sake of attaining the Supreme Lord, such a concoction will cause total ruination. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes on to quote, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhaktir Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. If one's so-called unalloyed devotion to Lord Hari does not take into account the regulations of the Shruti, Smriti, Puranas and Pancharatra, it is nothing more than a disturbance to society. In other words, even if one is not learned in the Vedic literatures, if he is engaged in the loving service of the Lord, he is to be accepted as a pure devotee. Nonetheless, such loving devotion cannot in any way contradict the injunctions of the revealed scriptures. Such groups as the Prakriti Sahajas ignore the standard regulations of Vaishnava Dharma and engage in illicit degraded activities, dressing as Radha and Krishna in the name of spontaneous devotion. They claim that because such spontaneous devotion is revealed by the Lord Himself. So they claim that because the spontaneous devotion is revealed by the Lord Himself, they need not refer to standard scriptures. Similarly, all over the world, there are pseudo-religionists who manufacture their own processes and claim that they are receiving knowledge from the Lord Himself within their hearts. Therefore, it is very important to understand, as stated here, that spontaneous revelation by the Lord within the heart is meant not to alter the eternal process of devotional service to the Lord, but to give supplementary facility to a sincere devotee who is ignorant of revealed scriptures. In other words, the revealed scriptures describe the eternal process of service to the Lord. Since the Lord is eternal and the living entity is eternal, the process of their loving relationship is also eternal. The Lord never changes his essential nature, nor does the living entity. Therefore, there is no need to change the essential process of loving service to the Lord. Special revelation by the Lord is meant to give scriptural knowledge by another means and not to contradict scriptural knowledge. On the other hand, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated that if a devotee is executing all the basic principles of Bhakti Yoga and advancing in devotional service, such a Vaishnava should not be criticized for neglecting the secondary procedures. For example, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada established hundreds of spiritual communities in the Western countries for practicing Krishna consciousness. The devotees in these communities give up all illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating, and constantly engaged in service to Krishna. Such followers of Srila Prabhupada are able to make wonderful spiritual advancement and convert many thousands of people to the process of devotional service. In fact, all the faithful members of ISKCON who follow the standard regulations remain free from material contamination and make visible progress in going back home, back to Godhead. Such members of ISKCON cannot possibly execute all the details of Varnashram Dharma system. In fact, many Western devotees can barely pronounce the Sanskrit words and are not very expert in performing elaborate sacrifices based on chanting of mantras and offering of oblations. But because they are executing all the essential principles of Bhakti Yoga by giving up material sense gratification and constantly engaging in loving service to Krishna, their position is guaranteed both in this life and in the next. We have seen many sophisticated Sanskrit scholars and learned experts in the details of Vedic sacrifice who can hardly even follow the basic principles of human life, namely no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, and no intoxication. Such brilliant scholars and ritualistic performers are generally seen to be attached to a materialistic conception of life and are fond of mental speculation. Although in Bhagavad Gita the Lord Himself has given perfect knowledge for all time, such so-called scholars consider themselves more intelligent than the Lord and thus speculate on the meaning of Vedic literature. Such speculation constitutes a fall from perfect spiritual life. And what then is to be said of the materialistic, fruitive activities which are illusory in every sense of the term? The transcendental devotees are able to remain aloof from the pollution of fruitive activity and mental speculation, and that is the essential purport of this verse. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has warned that the words Yan Astaya indicate that the exalted status of a Vaishnava can never be accorded to one who is not following the basic regulations of Bhakti Yoga, nor can it apply to one who is sometimes serving Krishna and sometimes serving the illusory energy, Maya, by mental speculation or fruitive activities. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has concluded, in all dharmas other than Bhagavad Dharma, one must consider the conditioned soul's qualification. But a soul surrendered to the Lord is never confounded by error, even if unqualified in all other respects. His feet never stumble and he never falls. Even though wandering in a world at whim, he always resides in an auspicious place by the influence of his unswerving worship. The unique potency of Bhagavad Dharma does not appear in any of the dharmas in the world. There is no comparison between a surrendered individual who has taken shelter of Bhagavad Dharma and a practitioner of any other dharma. Om Agina Tibhiranyasya Jnana Agina Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha E Krishna Krina Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhivya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Shivashadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacharine. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Tise Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himadya Divyacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the text again, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.35 Yan astaya naro rajan na pama dita karhi chet bhavan nimilya vanetre naskalin na pated iha. Translation: O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Hare Krishna. So this is the part of the answers given by Sri Kavi, one of the Navayugendras, to the question that Maharaj Nimi put. Now that question was discussed earlier, but I'll bring it up again because this is what he's answering. The question is, what is the highest good? What's the highest good that anyone can perform? So Sri Kavi is answering that the highest good is to perform the process of devotional service. And he goes on to elaborate. In this particular text, Sri Kavi puts devotional service at such a high standard, at a high caliber, high potency, because he says one who just decides to do this devotional service, one who accepts this process serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will never make a mistake on that path. It is not possible to blunder on this path. Even while he's running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. So the point he's making is devotional service is in itself so protective that even when you're blind, as long as you're performing devotional service, you will never trip or fall. That is in a spiritual sense, not in a material sense. Srila Prabhupada describes it also in the purport, what is meant by that, running with eyes closed. So Sri Kavi is saying that this is how potent performing devotional service is. Therefore, we owe it to ourselves to perform devotional service. We get the greatest gain from performing devotional service. Being a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best thing that anyone can do for themselves. And that's why when Krishna says one should not only perform Bhakti Yoga themselves, but they should also induce others who are ready to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead to also perform Bhakti Yoga. It is such a great benefit. And everybody that is doing it in the royal path of devotion is extremely, extremely fortunate. So, Sri Kavi is saying, performing devotion service with eyes closed, you don't even trip or fall. It will be elaborated later on. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, it is a process, Bhakti Yoga, that's easily performed. It is joyful to perform it. So many aspects of it are wonderful. The process of devotional service is a happy one, and Srila Prabhupada explains why. He says the processes are Shravanam, hearing, Ketanam, chanting, Vishnu, Smaranam, Vishnu Smaranam, remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the others, there are 9 in total, offering obeisances, worshipping the deity, being Krishna's friend, being Krishna's servant, and at the end, Atma Nivedanam, just giving everything, surrendering everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he says, the first thing to do is to hear. Hearing is what we get guidance from. Maya is always testing us to see whether we really want to stay on the path and are determined to stay on the path. Hearing is the way in which Krishna guides us individually with the things that we're weak on and the things that we also need to know in order to be more excited, because enthusiasm is important, excited about Krishna consciousness and performing devotional service. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says here, or can attend the lectures on transcendental knowledge by authorized acharyas. So by sitting, just by sitting in class, one can learn. Just by hearing, even when we're home doing other activities, we can have a lecture going on and hearing, especially if we're doing the kinds of jobs that activities around the house or wherever that doesn't require much brain power, much thinking. Then we can divert our attention much more to what's being said in the scriptures, and then we can hear and apply it also. That way we grow. And Sri Kabir has already said, even if we're blind spiritually, still we won't trip and fall as long as we're putting our hearts into devotional service. Sri Prabhupada continues that devotional service can be performed by anyone, rich or poor, even in the most poverty-stricken conditions. Srila Prabhupada saying, Krishna says, Patram Puspam Phalam Toyam. He's ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering. The leaf, which is usually tulsi leaf, flower, a bit of fruit, or a little water, which is not hard to get. Even a poor person can get it. We can, in fact, offer that to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because what Krishna does is look at the love with which we serve. Not the items, the love with which we serve. The items all belong to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's creation or Krishna's manifestation. So we really don't own anything. But if we turn to Him with love, using those things, then that's what He'll be satisfied with. So, God accepts the love with which things are offered to Him, Srila Prabhupada, and quoting Srila Prabhupada directly. So then what do we need to do? If God accepts the love, then we need to cultivate love. And how do devotees do that? Cultivating love of God, love of Godhead, begins with loving devotees. We cannot bypass devotees and love Krishna directly. That is not possible. Loving God begins with loving devotees. And the first thing not to do is do not offend devotees. Devotees are special in the eyes of God. Therefore, beginning, offenses should not be there. And with that, then we relate cordially or lovingly towards devotees at whatever level they are, beginners, advanced, it doesn't matter. With that, we begin to love or learn how to love Guru. We love Guru first by following his instructions, because this is how you satisfy Guru. Guru gives instructions and then we follow them, and then we commit to his program. In other words, what he's trying to do to push Krishna consciousness, we also get involved in it. This is how Srila Prabhupada himself was successful here. And Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, still he came through the process. He got a guru. In fact, his first sannyasi that he met, he was convinced to go see after he'd seen so many of them. The first one he was actually pushed to go see was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And when Maharaj saw Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, he said, you are educated, so you should push Lord Chaitanya's mission, Krishna consciousness, in the West, all around the world, especially in the West, Western countries. Because the Western countries were not privy, they were not getting this kind of information. And even the Bhagavad Gita that had been brought to the Western countries by other so-called gurus were being used just to make money. They were not being used to preach the superiority of Krishna and the fact that we are his servants, the servants of a servant of him. That was not being done. So Srila Prabhupada was asked by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to do this, to spread Krishna consciousness the world over. So that is how we show our love to Guru, by following his instructions and committing to his program. What he tells us to do, we do. Then from there, Krishna Prema follows. Because Yashat Prashad, Bhagavat Prashad, by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. Not through Guru, one can never get Krishna. So it's important that we follow the orders of Guru. So following that, then we develop Krishna Prema. So loving God begins with loving devotees, then from devotees learn to love Guru, and then Krishna Prema follows, because the Lord himself will make Krishna Prema available by revealing himself to us. So Srila Prabhupada makes a point here about a surrendered entity. A surrendered devotee says, "My dear Lord, although I am most sinful and unqualified, and for so long I've been trying to forget you," which means that we're dealing with the material energy rather than the spiritual energy, "now my mind has changed and I'm taking shelter at your lotus feet." So then the devotee vows, "From this day on, I am yours. Everything I possess, body, mind, words, family, riches, as the song says, manaso deho geho, my house, my body, my family, I'm offering all of that at your lotus feet. Please do with me as you like." So that is total surrender. So quite a few devotees, and some of you might know, they regard their house as the house of the Lord. Whatever deity that's in there, that they in the house, they regard that deity as the owner of the house, and they are just a servant of a deity in the house. That is the right consciousness. That's the consciousness of surrender. So when we do that, then Krishna has also said repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is saying here, he will protect and redeem such a surrendered living entity and bring him back home. He will protect him in the material world, and also at the time of death, bring that particular person back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life, knowledge, and bliss also. So the qualification of surrendering to the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, is so great and spiritually potent that even if a surrendered soul is deficient in other aspects of life, his elevated status is protected by the Lord himself. So this is the blindness that Sri Kavi is talking about. The blindness is deficiency or lack of knowledge, direct knowledge. Still, the Lord will protect, because the person is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees and Guru from his or her heart. That is the important thing. From the heart means they are serving in love. That is the important thing. Now, Srila Prabhupada talks about other processes, people using their own determination to try to intelligence, you know, and they don't seek shelter of the Lord. And if you do that, you're not going to do well. You're going to fall. Even if you're trying to go to the Vedas. But still, you're saying my own speculation, that they're not listening to their charges and the purpose from the charges, and they're using your own mental capacity to say, "I'm serving the Lord this way, the way I like." Maya would easily take over that kind of person, and the person would not do well. So, closing one's eyes, Srila Prabhupada says, refers to being in ignorance of the standard Vedic literatures. As we know, the Vedic literatures has a lot of knowledge in there. So the words Shruti and Smriti are referred to here. In fact, one of the verses by Srila Vishnavada Chakravarti Thakur, which I read earlier, he brings up Shruti and Smriti. Now, we heard these two words. A lot of us have heard about them. And what's the meaning of those? Well, they can be defined in different ways, but the bottom line meaning is Shruti is the truth, the Vedas, and is usually given by hearing. This is one of the nine processes, hearing. So Shruti is the knowledge, and Smriti is the rules, the Vedic injunctions. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. So, for example, when we say Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, that's Shruti, because it means Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's knowledge, and we accept the knowledge. That's Shruti. Now, if we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that's chanting, that's activity. So that's under Smriti. Okay, so activity is where you have, you do this, you don't do this, you do this, you don't do this. Srila Prabhupada describes it as Vedic injunctions. And a lot of what's in the Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, is all Smriti. Not all of them, most of them are Smriti. Atyahara prayastasta prajapani magraha, do this, don't do this, don't overcollect, don't over endeavor, and so on. Don't gossip. So these are all do's and don'ts. Those are under Smriti. And then when Krishna says, especially in the part about Gita, that he is the beginning and the end of everything, of the mountains, I'm the Himalayas, of this, so many things he describes, then that's all on the Shruti. That's knowledge. So you know who is, you know, who and what is what. We are servants of a servant of a servant of a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the Supreme Controller. That is Shruti. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada continues, the Lord has clearly stated that even if a devotee lacks Shruti, Vedic knowledge, they're ignorant of Vaishnava literature, as long as they're doing the Smriti, the activities, do's and don'ts, from their heart and paying great attention to it, that person will still be regarded as a high level devotee. The Lord was doing this. Lord Chaitanya, he was saying, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Later on, he instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, he instructed Srila Sanatana Goswami, he had conversations with Ramananda Rai. All of these are very intimate associates in Gaura Lila with them. But then for the masses of the people, he just said Smriti, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And thousands of people were following him and they were dancing. And then the Shruti personality, Prakashananda, he saw Lord Chaitanya doing that, and he said, why is he calling himself a sannyasi? And he just says chant and chant and chant and chant, and he doesn't have any knowledge, so he's just a sentimentalist. Of course, Lord Chaitanya later on helped him and his followers become devotees. The Lord gives mercy. Of course, his mission, his external mission, as is described, was to help to elevate people's minds and take Krishna consciousness seriously by chanting the holy names of the Lord. The internal reason for his coming, says Gopanim, is around the corner. In fact, it's upon us practically. His external reason was to elevate devotees by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the internal was to come enjoy the Madhamakya Mahabhav, the highest level of Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is in 8 levels. Smrana Chakravarti describes that also. And the highest level is Madhamakya Mahabhav, which is only the bhav practiced by Srimati Radharani, nobody else. And so the Lord wanted to know what kind of love that Srimati Radharani had for him. He wanted to taste that. So that was the internal reason for coming. So Gopanim is practically on us now. It's wonderful that we'll be able to celebrate that. Anyway, to come back to this. So Srila Prabhupada demonstrated this whole point that Sri Kavi is making. Because when he formed ISKCON early in the movement, they were the devotees, his disciples, they didn't know much. In fact, he hadn't written too many books at that point. Srimad Bhagavatam was still being written. Yet, because the devotees were convinced about whatever little that they knew about the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the time, and the biggest thing they knew was the chant. They knew that Krishna was God, and that they had to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In fact, I remember one devotee who talked to me, he's his Prabhupada disciple, and when I was in Alachua in 1998, that time, I was there about 5 months. He told me how they made other devotees. See, the Prabhupada just sent them out. They only had Back to Godhead magazines, which obviously compared to the whole Vedas is very small in terms of literature that was being put out, that is the size of it compared to the Vedas. And they themselves didn't know much. But guess what they did? All they did was say, Krishna is God, chant Hare Krishna. That was it. Krishna is God. So they're telling people, Krishna, they were saying, that is the God that you know. Except that you're going to know more from us. And what do? Simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he's saying people were excited just to hear that. Krishna is God, chant Hare Krishna, and they just kept repeating that. Chant Hare Krishna, and they just teach the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they chant, of course, kartals and the madanga are there. Sometimes they'll play the music, they'll dance, and the people who are around them will dance, and they'll chant the holy name. This is not somebody that has so much shruti. They're just doing what the spiritual master said to do, which is smriti. Just tell people to chant. And Srila Prabhupada sent so many of his disciples to preach like that and go establish temples in different parts of the world. So that proves that with little knowledge from the Vedas, but with a sincere heart, and the main thing you do in Kali Yuga, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one can turn those who are open-minded into devotees. So this is what was going on. So we are fortunate at this time to have so much technology by which we can have so much ideas put out, discussions put out, like we're doing now using teleconference, and so many books available from Srila Prabhupada, and so many books from Srila Prabhupada's teachings written by his disciples and even grand disciples. All of that's available. So this is expanded now, very much so. And so we take advantage of it. We have to take advantage of it. So Srila Prabhupada also listed a few things, pros and cons. Srila Prabhupada established hundreds of spiritual communities by practicing, he asked them to practice, Krishna consciousness. And these devotees were living by the regulated principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, and they were constantly engaging service to Guru and service to Krishna. And they were able to make wonderful spiritual advancement just doing that. Many, many, many people who are faithful members of ISKCON do this, and they make visible progress, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here, going back home, back to Godhead. In fact, I know of devotees who later on, the gurus here, some of them mentioned that when they left their bodies, they made it back to Godhead. And I know those devotees that had, in fact, lower natures, things that they had to work on still. But, in other words, negative aspects of them. But they were very, very surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And they worked hard, and they worked very determined, and they worked very lovingly in their service to him. Therefore, Krishna gave them the mercy and allowed them back to Goloka Vrindavan when they left their bodies. So the process is a process where so much mercy is already built in if we take it seriously. So there's a few things. I know many of us that call in, we're parents, we're hastas, we have children. Some of us have young children, or some of us are older and we have children who are now having other children, in other words, their grandchildren. So in one lecture, in the question and answer section, this is a lecture by Srila Radha Maharaj, the question came up, and I thought it was very important. I listened to it online, And this was something the parents have done, you know, over the years, decades and decades and decades. Many, many parents know about fairy tales. So they tell fairy tales to the children because there is something good to learn from it. They're fables. They're more the goodness things that the children can pick up from it. Now, one thing about fairy tales, this is about, as Radha Maharaj says, we're not against them necessarily, but there's something about it that he brought up that was very important. I think our parents need to know. Now, first point he made is it's important for devotee parents to tell children the proper stories. The good thing about fairy tales is they have a good moral lessons. Now, here is the not so good part of fairy tales. The fairy tale stories, they don't purify the hearts of the children. And you know what life is about. Life is about bhakti yoga to get back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, suppose, where we our constitutional position and our original home. Fairy tales don't take you there. They don't purify the hearts. They don't go beyond material into the spiritual. They deal with things only about birth, death, old age, and disease, no more, which is material life. So, why was he concerned about them? Maharaj is concerned about these stories because many of these fairy tales have parts of them that are actually not true. They are impossible, but they are put in the stories just to sweeten those stories and make them exciting, and then the moral point is made at the end, not what they have to learn from it. Now, here's the problem. The problem is when the children, you know, initially they believe these. They have stories, and then the stories, like, I remember one of them, Jack and the Beanstalk, and the beanstalk is very, very, it just grew and grew and grew and grew and went up so high, you know, to penetrate the clouds of the sky practically. I don't remember exactly everything in there, but there were some things in there. It also has a good moral lesson in the end. But later on, and this is the problem my eyes had, the children grow up and they learn that the stories are really untrue. And when they learn that, then they become gyanis, in that they think that things that go beyond their sense perception are not true. If they can't actually imagine, if it's not real to them, they can't actually do it or can't see other people do it, then it's not true. Even though fairy tales have these parts of it which are not true, they are meant to give some moral lesson. But if the children believe it at that time and later on they have to unlearn and say that, this part is not true, this part is not true, then Maya will pull their minds into thinking that if you don't, if you can't perceive it, then it's not true and you don't take it seriously. Now here's where the trouble starts. In the scriptures, there are so many superhuman things that are above our own imagination, much less even trying to do it. So much of it. Why? Because even those in the heavenly planets, they have more capability than we have. So many things they can do. And that's just the heavenly planets. Much less talk about Krishna's devotees and those in the spiritual world and their capabilities. So many of those things are not possible for us to even do or imagine. But they are also in the scriptures. Now, this is the difference between fairy tales and the scriptures. Those in the scriptures are true, but the fairy tales one are not true. So then which one should you say? If the fairy tales don't purify our hearts, that's the point he's making. It doesn't purify anybody's heart. And then the things in there are actually, some of them are made up just for the story to be sweetened. And then a devotee child is supposed to now hear from the Shastra, and the Shastra has so many impossible things too, because at our level it's impossible for us, but that's true. Then doesn't that bring confusion? So then the point Maharaj is making is it's better for the parent to tell stories from the scriptures and forget the fairy tales, because the scriptures give material moral lessons as well as spiritual lessons, and those things in those shastras are actually true. So when the children hear it and they believe it, because that's the way children are, they are prone to believing, fairy tales or Shastra in the pastimes, when they believe the pastimes and then later on they grow up and find out that yes, Krishna is superhuman, Krishna's devotees are superhuman, therefore those things are actually true, then there is no loss of faith. It actually makes them even better. It would increase their faith in Krishna. They want to hear more about Krishna. The scriptural pastimes go beyond material into the spiritual. Fairy tales cannot do that. They can't go to the spiritual. They're not transcendental. So it's better to teach the children to hear in such a way that they can, with their minds and their level of experience, to appreciate the pastimes. So it's on us, the parents, to bring the pastimes. In fact, even the lives of the pure devotees of the Lord, so many of them are in the scriptures. You can say over and over and over, so many of them, that you will have not to even bother by repeating some of them for a long time. By the way, the children like things repeated too. So just repeating stories does not mean it's a wrong thing to do, that or they will not appreciate it. They like, especially if they like the story, they like to hear it again. So it will make children and adults both marvel at the powers that we are used to, that are beyond what we're used to. So one thing, we'll just categorize all of them. One, pastimes are better to tell than fairy tales. One, because the children will believe the stories when they are children, and then later on when they grow up, they will keep believing it because the scripture will reinforce that the stories are true. Number two, it will increase their faith in Krishna, and therefore they will want to hear more about Krishna. And number three, these scriptural pastimes, they go beyond the material into the spiritual. Fairy tales cannot do that. Number four, it will make the children and adults very, very, very excited about the powers that are beyond what we're used to here. For children, especially this point number five, it's easy for Krishna to become a hero by hearing him like that in the pastimes. And by the way, this is how the cowherd boys perceive Krishna. Krishna is their hero. And what better personality they have as a hero than Krishna? So here's a big advantage. Rather than have something in a fairy tale become a hero, Krishna is the hero. And the last point follows from number five. With Krishna as a hero, Krishna prema will come a lot faster. Because when children latch on to a particular personality and they like everything about them, they will develop love for him. So if that personality, the hero, is Krishna, then they will develop love for Krishna, which is an easy way for parents to raise the Krishna, raise the children in Krishna consciousness. So the point Maharaj is making is, ultimately, the children don't need fairy tales. Instead of doing that, the parents should tell the pastimes and tell the stories of Krishna and Krishna's devotees in a simpler form so that the children can understand. And therefore, devotees should make it a point to write more children's books so that the children can read it at all levels and ages. And of course, audio books these days are also possible, reading and recording the books, the information in the book can also be made. So it's important to actually take on, as a parent, teaching Krishna's pastimes and forgetting about the fairy tales. Because ultimately the fairy tales don't take us too far, and actually they work against the children in the end. The last point we want to talk about is pain. And we'll talk about how pain can help us. Everybody has been through some sort of difficult situation. The situation being so difficult that they would never wish that they'll go through that again, or wouldn't even wish it on anyone to go through it. So how does that pain, that difficult situation, help us? Well, we are in the material world, and we also know that we are not the body, we're the soul. So whatever pain that we've been through, that doesn't affect the soul, it affects the body. We are here in the material world, in Krishna's prison, in cosmic jail, when we have these material bodies, and Srila Prabhupada and all the other Vaishnava saints in the parampara are beckoning us, or pushing us to go back, lovingly pushing us to go back home. So, if we remember any pain that is so difficult that we wouldn't want to repeat it, that is actually a help for us. Because when every time we remember that pain, we'll say, I don't want to go through it again. Well, how do you not go through pain again? You have to leave the material world. As long as you're here, some sort of pain will come. And even it may be more intense than the one that you were just thinking about that you don't want to go through again. So basically, pain reminds us that we are in a difficult situation. And so to get out of the difficult situation, we have to take this process, Bhakti Yoga, seriously, so that we don't go through this anymore. And on that note, there was one story, actual true story, two things that happened. The devotee in Harrisburg, and at the time, he was very, very much pro-Krishna consciousness, right? He wasn't initiated yet. He had a wife and a child, 5-year-old child. His wife succumbed to cancer. He got diseased, cancer. He did everything he could to fight the cancer, paid for all the medical bills, he did some the usual treatments, chemotherapy, and everything natural that he could, you know, help take to control the disease or get rid of it, they tried to do. Anyway, they were successful up to a point, and then the cancer was in the lymph nodes, and usually I haven't heard anybody that's gone to lymph node, cancer getting the lymph node, that survived. So it flared up again. And when I saw her, they had put, the hospital had put so many, at the time, she had a couple of machines that were helping with her breathing. Now, before that, I got a phone call from the devotee, the husband, called me up and said, my wife is refusing to chant, and I'm very worried about her. By the way, she was the only one in the family, the husband, wife, and child, one child. She was the only one that got initiated. So she was initiated, the Radhika Vrinda Maharaj disciple. So they called me up and said, my wife is not chanting, and obviously she's feeling pain, and she's upset with all the trouble that she's gone through, and now she's, you know, gotten worse again. And now, in other words, she's giving up on the process. Can you talk to her? I said, okay. Now, the back of my mind, I said, I'm not a counselor. I don't know what to tell this, you know, Mataji. She's younger than me. Both of them are younger than me. And so he's looking at me, we're trying to get an older person. He said that they had other devotees talk to her and she wasn't listening to them. Nobody can convince her to pick up the meat bag and chant. And so we're trying to see, maybe because of your age, maybe she'll be more respectful to you and you can convince her to. So I took the phone. So the husband got his wife on the phone. And in the meantime, I'm praying desperately to my spiritual master to give me ideas to tell this particular Mataji. So then I remembered something. You first ask questions. I took a sales course, and the sales course, it told me, first you ask questions, and then you repeat the answers to the person so that they can understand that you have heard the answers, okay? And then you go on solving it. So this is what I learned from a sales course. I decided at that time I was going to go through that to buy time, when, you know, to hear something from my spiritual master to tell this particular Mataji. Anyway, I won't keep you in suspense much longer. So I asked her, what's the problem? I know that you don't really want to take this process seriously anymore. Why? He said, well, I'm feeling very disappointed. Well, what is it that you want to do that you're not able to do? Then he said, I want to serve my husband as a good wife, and I also want to be able to serve my child as a mother. But this disease has put me down and I'm not able to do that. In the meantime, I'm only half listening. I'm listening, but I'm only half listening because my other part of my mind is praying sincerely and praying desperately to my guru to tell me what to tell her. Anyway, so then, just like I said, I repeated. So you want to be a good mother to your daughter and a good wife to your husband? She said, yes. Okay, so you want to give them the gifts from your heart? She said yes. And then I said, at that point, some answers have come by the mercy of a guru in Srila Prabhupada. I said, you can give even a greater gift to both your husband and your child. She said, how? I said, you remember you're the only one in this family that's initiated. She said, yes. I said, all right. If a devotee is successful to earn the mercy of Guru and Krishna and makes it back to the spiritual world, guess what? Your husband and your child can also leave the material world because of what you've done. If you take the process seriously and you make it back, now in the meantime, I know you're sick and cancer. Everybody knows that she probably would die soon, but you can't bring it up like that. I said, everybody's going to leave their body at some point. It could be next day, it could be 10 years, it could be 50 years from now, but everybody will leave. Since you're the only one that's initiated, you're the only one that can, in fact, make sure if you go back to the spiritual world, you have the advantage of getting your family members, not only your husband and your daughter, but your parents and grandparents, your daughter's children, they can go back. And what better thing to give them that if they leave the material world, that's a much better life than what you yourself can give them in the material world now. So she had to agree to that. So, okay, so that's the bigger gift than the gift that you're trying to, be a good mother and a good wife. Then I said, Mataji, I don't want to call his name. I called her name and I said, Mataji, you more than anyone else would know how much pain this cancer has given you. He said, yeah. I said, would you ever wish to go through this kind of pain again? She said, never in my life. I said, well, it's your physical body that gave you this pain. Therefore, to not go through the pain, it means you shouldn't get a physical body, because once you have a physical body, you can go through the pain again. She agreed. All right? So if you don't want the physical body, because physical body gives you pain, how do you avoid getting a physical body? He says, I have to go back to Godhead. I said, you got that right. So then what should you do? He says, I have to chant. So, end of story. So then I hung up the phone, and then my husband called me later on and says, we don't know what you told her, but right after she finished talking to you, she picked up the beat bag and wouldn't leave it. I said, thank you, Gurudev. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. So this is how she continued, and later on I came to her house. She had two machines hooked up. She was in the living room area. They brought her down from the bedroom. And I sat at the foot of her bed, and then a lot of devotees were there, family members were there, and they were talking to her, and I started chanting. And as soon as I started chanting, she stopped everybody. She didn't want to hear, she just wanted to hear chanting. Not my chanting, I was the one chanting, true enough, but she wanted to hear the holy name. And so her husband realized that what she wanted to hear was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and nothing else. So he went and got an iPod or something with so much kirtan on it and so on, and started playing that. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he stayed with the process. She stayed with the process, chanted and chanted until her situation got so, so difficult that she was taken back to the hospital, and then she was the husband was told, I was there at the time, that we have to remove the machines. The machines had been, upgraded to 6 of them, holding her up, and says she's not going to make it. And so, but even at that time, the nurses were changing her, and they were putting the bead bag in her hand. Even when she could not, feel or anything, she just was putting the bead bag there, because everybody realized that she was connected to this, and that's how you do it. So they were, even the nurses, Kami nurses, were still honoring her devotional aspect by giving her, putting the bead bag in her hand, just put the bead bag on and put her hand on top of it. So she left the body. And later on, it was explained to us that Krishna allowed her back to Goloka Vrindavan. She had only been devotee 2 years. That's it. 2 years. When she got sick of the cancer, then she asked for initiation, and Maharaj initiated, and then 2 years later she left the body and went back to Godhead. So pain can help us if we remember it. We don't want to go through that pain again, then it's a question of getting out. So Sri Kavi is telling us that devotion service is so potent that if we serve from our heart, then we may not even know the Shastra so well. Still, the Lord will reveal everything that we need to know in for us. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here and open up for questions or comments. Hare Krishna. So any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for sharing such a nice stories.
Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Jai. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai.
Thank you so much for this lecturing class, and especially the last few, in the last room, told about the Mataji's experience
from
the chanting, and it's so inspiring to me. Thank
Hare
you
Krishna.
So much for sharing that.
Hare Krishna. Thank Krishna's you. Mercy. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Any other comments or questions?
For everybody's understanding and knowledge, the story is not story, it's a true story, and it is real life.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that. He didn't say the name, but it is true story.
Yeah, okay, you know about it, yeah. Yeah, it's being recorded, that's why I don't want to bring them.
I know that.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
It's just not a story, that's why I'm saying.
Oh, okay. It's actually an event. That's something that actually happened here. Yeah. So the devotee has since, married another Mataji, and they are taking the process seriously, very seriously. They're all in there now. Hare Krishna. So, any other comments or questions? Hare Krishna.
I like what you told about the children, and you told about the hero, and that, whatever the hero they follow, it's easy for them to get the characteristic like that.
Yeah.
So it's very nice that if we make Krishna as our hero, somebody what we like, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, make me a goal of your life, or make me supreme. There is a very nice analogy that you put it down, that by observing the kids what they like, it's pretty nice that if you make a Krishna as a hero, goal mm-hmm. of your life,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes very easy to acquire nice qualities, especially devotional service to the Lord. You would do anything for Krishna.
Yeah, because he's your hero.
because that's your hero. He will protect your hero no matter what.
Yeah. It's easy to get the Krishna prema that way. That's why he said we should actually forget Maharaj's and Rana Maharaj's. We should really not take fairy tales, because fairy tales, part of things that are not true, they're just made up for the story to be nice, but then the children have to forget about it because it's not true, and now it will hurt their understanding of Shastra, because so many things in the Shastra also are not at our level. So that's why it's better to do only pastimes, so that the children can believe it when they're little, and then when they grow up too, they can have it reinforced by the Shastra that it is true. So basically, no more fairy tales. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Jai.
Thank you so much. And the last story I was thinking that you mentioned, which is true, is I think is they got your association because of that, they could get back on track. So, you know, there's a lovely role that you played there, Prabhuji.
Well,
Prabhuji, one question comes to my mind. Like, you know, sometimes I meet some young Matajis, and, you know, they mention often that we ask them that they're doing the 16 rounds, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask them that, why don't you take initiation? So they said, no, we will only take initiation when, you know, like our husband is ready for it. And the husband is not ready. Husband is not chanting, not following the, you know, regulated principles and things like that. So there are some Matajis like that, they stay like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes wonder, because I did not follow that. I just, you know, took my initiation, although, you know, they say that, well, you know, our husband will not take, and that, then, you know, what is the use if the husband does not take and just we take? So that kind of thought process they have, and I sometimes wonder, because there's so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who give initiation, you know, even to Matajis or even to Prabhujis.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to say in this aspect? Is it okay for Matajis to go ahead or for Prabhujis to go ahead? Because with Prabhuji it's okay, because even if I've heard that if Prabhuji is a initiated devotee, then, you know, the Mataji is automatically, the Prabhu's Guru becomes the Guru of the Mataji, even if she doesn't take initiation in this life, because, you know, she follows her husband, who's like an initiated Guru. But with Mataji, it's a little bit different, you know.
Yeah.
They don't want to take a step. But from the Shastric point of view, is it okay to take that step? Actually, I took it, but then there are a lot of Matajis that don't want to do that.
Okay, so the question is, should Matajis take the step to get initiated? The answer is one big yes. They definitely should. Srila Prabhupada, and another thing you made, which is important, was that yes, the Prabhujis, the men can take initiation, and usually, not usually, but initially it was that women were not taking initiation, the men took initiation, the husbands took initiation. When a husband is successful in Krishna consciousness, they make it back to Godhead, then the wife also makes it back to Godhead. That's the way it was. And Srila Prabhupada gave the mercy by changing that and saying Matajis themselves can take initiation. Now, some Matajis don't get married. So if by the old rule, if the Matajis don't get married, then there's no Prabhuji that's going to make it back to the spiritual world, so they can also go. And that's a disadvantage to the Matajis then. So Srila Prabhupada changed that and says a Mataji should take initiation themselves. The other advantage to that is, if it's just laziness on the part, or maybe more sense gratification on the part of the husband, they don't want to practice Krishna consciousness fully and take initiation. If they are open to Krishna consciousness, in other words, if they're not against Krishna, they're not against Krishna, they just don't practice it, that still gives them an opportunity to get out of the material world. Again, and I'm very careful in saying these things, out of the material world. Where exactly? Well, it's still out of the material world, though. If this initiated wife is successful in Krishna consciousness, even that is still there. Because if you make it back to the spiritual world, remember this, the episode, the incident that I talked about, where the Mataji, who was this, leaving the body, and at that time, she was the only one that was initiated in the family. Husband was not, daughter was 5 years old, forget initiation, then he was, you know, she wasn't going to be initiated, she didn't know much. So, still, the point was, if she made it back to the spiritual world, they were also going to go. By the way, the husband now has taken initiation of the same guru, Radha Govinda Maharaj. And the daughter is now like 12 years old, very active still in the temple. So, yes, the advantage is there to save the family practically by the wife taking initiation. If you don't take initiation, then everybody is going to be coming back for a next life in the material world. But the wife can change that. But one person can change that if they get initiated and take the process seriously. So yes, they should. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can I add a couple sentences?
Absolutely, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Hare Krishna, Jai Radha.
Hare Krishna.
So, it's stated by Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita that when one receives a diksha, dikkale, and that all your previous, what do you call, karma, sinful activity gets nullified and
yes.
Becomes zero. I mean, you know, there's no more reaction left.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And it's like when you see live tree, and when you see a live tree, then when you cut it down, and after you cut it down, it takes time for it to dry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's when it becomes wood, you know, firewood or burning wood.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time for it to burn. You know, like you cut it down, and then you let it dry, and then after drying, then you could actually put it in a stove to burn and
yes.
use it.
Yes.
So, what happens is, for a person who is actually really greedy, or one who knows what is a goal of life, or what should be a goal of life, or what do they want to do in a life,
mm-hmm.
By your own self, that you know what is your goal of life, or sometime by others, say like, you know, others means like your parents or somebody else or guru or sadhu or somebody teaching you that, oh, this is a good path, please go there.
Mm.
And you take that path. So by any mean, if one accepts this path of devotional service and one kind of take initiation, I know it's just like a very hard to digest because you know, Prabhupada has this you know, frog examples that, you know, a frog is in a
well
and he's trying to measure, how big is your ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Double, triple, quadruple, 10 times. You can't really measure the ocean, like how big is your ocean.
Mm.
So same way, the person do not really know that what is the spiritual life unless otherwise one really takes on it, you know, one
mm-hmm.
really accepts it and one, you know, really practices, because in that spiritual life, that's when he really receives the unlimited transcendental bliss.
Absolutely.
Because when one really accepts the spiritual life, what happens? Your forefather becomes happy with you,
mm-hmm.
and they try to help you.
Oh,
Father
okay.
Rishis becomes happy with you, they try to help you.
Mm.
Or the demigods becomes happy with you, then they try to help you. Even
mm-hmm.
the demon becomes happy with you, and they try to help you. Please understand very clearly in our, like, you know, consciousness that the living entity, you know, Muktatma means, in Vaikuntha Loka, the sloka is like that to the Muktatma, not only Brahmaji, all demigods, but also demons pray to them. In other words, demons also likes to, offer their obeisances to this living entity in all Vaikuntha and things like that. So devotees are really superior than anybody you will ever imagine or encounter or anything in your life.
Mm.
So in a life, the most and foremost, you know, like essence in a life is that somehow or other take a shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
Mm.
And when one receives the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then actually your devotional service starts. I mean, until then, even though you are it's not that in vain that you're practicing your services, it's not like in vain,
mm-hmm.
but that's when actually everything starts. Registration, say like I go to school or I go to pre-K or whatever, but I'm not registered, you know. You will not get a credit no matter what you do. You will not get a credit.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Please see that unless otherwise middle or cloudy understanding about the situation, but you will not really get a credit for it. In other words, it's like when you go to a college or anywhere, they have a class in two sessions. One is called auditing, and one is like a credit. Credit means they actually check your homework, this, that, everything, and make sure that you get your grade, what you got grade.
Yeah, and the university will record the grade too, in the transcript. The university will record your grades in the transcript too. An audited person, nothing is given.
So same way, you could say like I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, but nobody is grading you that okay, you are or you are not. You know, are you doing your job or are you not doing your job? So please, try to see that you know the first offense in the Krishna consciousness is blaspheming the deity of the Lord, who has like you know.
Whole life in proper
take initiation, do this, and after all this, then why is that like little thing? I mean, just the person who has just become a devotee and you start blaspheming, and that's called worst offense. Why? Because he has registered himself to become Krishna conscious. So what I'm trying to say is to everybody, I'm really sorry, I was not really prepared in a sense. But for the Mataji, within 2 years, from initiation and left her body and got a perfection in her life by practicing Krishna consciousness, the reason is you have accepted the Guru, the reason is you have accepted the process, the reason is she has accepted that, oh yes, other devotees are there to help her and things like that, and she had perfected her life. So similar to that, we are also not alone in our life over here. Everybody is there. It's just that how open we are to accept the mercy of the Guru and Gauranga and other devotees. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And that is our life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for adding this to it. Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Victory to all of the followers of Lord Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you so much,
Hare Krishna.
One more question is there in connection to this, which is coming to my mind.
Yes, go ahead.
Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I'm just speaking.
Yeah, so I can hear.
On a bodily platform, yes. You know, on a bodily platform, when we talk about, say, like, when we talk about material, I mean, one time Prabhupada said that Kunti Maharani was so powerful that she can rule the entire kingdom. Okay, but she chose not to rule the entire kingdom because she was a woman. Okay, so the thing is, we have to follow some instruction in a sense that it's like how do you say that? There's some limitation to like a bodily limitation. In other words, say for example, I want to take my bicycle, okay, and I can ride my bicycle very nicely, no problem, little bit on down the road. I take the bicycle and I want to climb a mountain. Now that becomes like little difficult because there is a chance that the bicycle cannot really climb the mountain. And say like I want to ride on the ocean, which my bicycle. So I cannot really go on a bicycle with the ocean, you know, it's just not possible because I'll drown and I'll die. So everybody has its limitations. So similar to that, Prabhupada is saying, on for material purposes, and in a Shastra it is saying, and even Lord Krishna also states in the Bhagavad Gita, Sriya Vaishya Tatha Sudra. But then, right away, the next verse is, Lord says that the Kim, if this Sriya Vaishya Tatha Sudra, if they can practice this devotional service, then why the Brahmana and Kshatriya and Rajasri, they cannot practice the devotional service? And he says that by taking shelter of devotional service, not only Sriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmana, these, that, everybody, but anybody and everybody can go back to home, back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me just take a little time if everybody has a Bhagavad Gita. I don't know what verse is, but I'll try to find it and I'll just try to go over it in a couple of minutes. I'm not sure how much time can you give me. Is it okay? You can give me some time or not really? Like how much, what is a stopping time right now today?
We have time because it's a weekend, so you know.
Okay, let me find it. Prabhuji, do you know where is the verse over here? It says Sriya Vaishya Tatha Sudra. Let me find it real fast.
Sriya Vaishya.
Sriya Vaishya Tatha Sudra. It's like, I think it's a 4th or 5th chapter.
It's in the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, it's in Bhagavad Gita, yeah.
While Prabhuji is finding that, can I add or ask a question, please?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, no problem.
I'm from Bloomington, Illinois.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Can I ask?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. You know, in our congregation, Mataji has raised a very, very good point, and we come across it almost every day. If the Matajis are very into this process and already have been chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulatory principles and doing deity worship at home, but the Prabhujis are not completely involved, not even chanting. But I try to, you know, then when they come to ask for advice, and I see from my own examples in my household, we all are on different levels of our devotional service.
Okay.
And all of us are doing something towards this process and serve the mission of Prabhupada.
Okay.
And I tell the Matajis, you know, whatever you are doing, yes, it is just for you, but also people around you, your spouse, your husband, your children, they see, they watch by example, and they will get some benefit. But if you want to go towards initiation, please try to do so. And, you know, we have our Guru Maharaj, we have everybody who will help and take us through this very, very, very straight devotional path of Krishna consciousness towards our next level of spirituality is.
Yes.
And, you know, is that okay to do? Is that okay to, you know, advise? Because
yes.
I feel that even though we are connected in a family and we have dependents and we are dependent on one another, but whatever we gain, whatever we are able to do for our own religious or spirituality or our own accumulation of karma, that is for us itself. So please advise me on this.
You always...
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Can I make a point?
I think these words will take care of your question. What is your good name, Mataji?
Prabhuji, I am Anand Viharni.
Okay, very good, very nice. And Rupini Padmanti. So what we're going to do is we're going to go on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 31, 32, and 33. Okay, if somebody has it, they can open it up. So again, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 31, 32, and 33. So, We'll go to 32, 33, and then we'll just quickly visit 31. Okay. But we'll study all that. I mean, study in the sense that we'll read it, and then we'll study it, and we'll conclude it. Okay. So our conclusion is that 31 text, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Saswadachati Nikachati Kanteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Okay, that's a conclusion. And then just to reiterate, Lord starts the 32 sloka. Mahi Partha Vipatriya Iya Bishu Papayoniya Seva Vishya Tathasudras Stepi Anti Paramgati. Okay, then the next sloka 33 says Kim Guna Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajasrayas Tatha Hanityam Asukham Lopam Imam Praptya Bhajaswa Mam. So anyway, so Lord starts out with Mahi Parthaviva Pasita Ye Api Chu Papayuni. I don't have English translation. Can somebody read in English?
Which one? Is it 32?
Gujarati.
That's 32 is, O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and shudras or workers, they can attain the supreme destination. That's the one you just read. Okay, O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, even the of lower birth, as women of vaishyas or shudras, they can still attain the supreme destination. Okay.
This is an underlying principle that it's like a, like, you know, I mean, say like a, over here when I came into America, there was something called education was so low, very low, so that when you even go to places, like any places to work, they would ask, oh, are you high school graduate, you know? You have to mark yourself that are you high school graduate. Then when you mark it, usually like so many people are not even high school graduate, you know. So then there was some other kind of test that you had to pass it. I forgot its name. Oh, by the way, did you pass that test, you know, something like that. Oh, if you're not high school graduate, did you pass that test, you know. So that's how bad it is.
GED, it's called GED.
Not even finished up with high school, that's how bad it was. But then still they can get the job. Why? Because either they are graduated or they have like little test that, you know, they pass that test, so they are okay, you know, something like that. So, now, graduating high school is not really a big deal, but still, getting job is a big deal, because if you don't have a job, then you have a problem, you know, I mean, a big-time problem. You need a job. So just think like that, Sriva Vaishya Tatha Sudra, actually, mercantile community, why it is so bad for them to get Krishna consciousness, mercantile community, Vaishya. Why Sriya has a problem? Sriya, Vaishya, Tatha, Sudra. Sudra, why the Sudra has a problem to attain Krishna consciousness? What is the problem? So this merchandise community is always engaged in a trading here, trading there. They don't even have time to listen to Krishna Katha anywhere, you know, or understand it, because their brain is not there. In other words, their brain is working how to trade, do this job, do this job, do this business, where to make money. So their intelligence is all the time on, which is attached there. And Sudra is always given orders because they have no clue what to do or what not to do. They are being told that you do this, something like that. So Sudra is always dependent on somebody else to guide them. So that is also a very pitiful condition. And Lord starts out with the Striya. Striya is also in a very pitiful condition because they are always dependent on somebody to guide them properly, you know. we have a story of Yati Maharaj, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Yati Maharaj is a great devotee of Lord, but then he guided Devyani to go back to him, back to Godhead. Similar to that, we'll find so many stories when we go ahead in Srimad Bhagavatam, that, you know, they guided, but by mercy of somebody, they receive the understanding of Krishna consciousness, and after they received understanding on Krishna consciousness, they took on it and they went back to home, back to Godhead. Alright, fine. So the first underlying principle is that even the such a call, very unable personality like a Striya, Dhyana Vaishya, Anasudra, and outcaster, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that even if you are a Chandala, what is that? Verse in Chaitanya Charitamritam, it says that if somebody is a Nipuna Brahmana who studies Vedas, this, that, everything, but he is not a devotee of Lord, then he cannot go back to home, back to Godhead. But a Chandala, not only he goes back to home, back to Godhead, but one who gives a shelter too, and he can give all, like, you know, one who he gives a shelter to, they can also take him back with him. So, but the qualification is what? That he must be a devotee of Lord. So same, so similar to that, now let's just go to quickly text number 33. So, Kim Puna Kamana Punya Bhakta Rajasraya Tatha, then it means that if Striya Vaishya Tathasudra, if they can go back to Godhead, then why this Brahmana and Rajasri means great king, if they pick on Krishna consciousness, then how can they not go back to Godhead, back to Godhead? Means they will go back to Godhead. Why? Because they will have accepted Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Means it's like if a high school graduate can get the job, then why
university person cannot get a job? Yeah,
you know, somebody who went through college
yeah,
or you know, PhD, why they cannot get the job? Means they will for sure get the job. Why? Because if the person who failed the high school and they take a little test and they can get the job, then somebody who is already have a very powerful degree, then they will get the job, right? So similar to that, then Krishna says, again, this point came in as Prabhuji says that, my dear Arjuna, this place is anityam. Anityam means, how is it translated? Non-eternal? Asukam.
Temporary.
Imam prapta bhajaswamam. That please worship me, you know, and become my devotee. And that's where you get the ultimate benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the translation, Prabhuji?
For which one? For
33.
Okay. 33 is, translation is, how much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, devotees, and saintly kings. How much more this is so? That means going back to Godhead, how much the advantage is there for them. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. That's the translation.
Okay, so that is a conclusion.
Mm.
And please become devotee of Lord. That is a conclusion what Krishna is telling to Arjuna. And everything started out from the text number 31. So
yes,
let's just go on that one. And we are, you know, like, you know, we understand the Lord's intention.
Yeah, so the translation for that,
yeah, go ahead.
The translation, this is 31. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Okay. He quickly becomes righteous and attains peace.
When he says, Kunti pradijanahi nami bhakta pranashati, that my devotee never perishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you tell me, is that a man or lady?
It doesn't say that. It just says devotee.
Do you see that, Mataji? What does it say?
Yeah, it says devotee.
Yeah, yeah. So does it really say man or does it say lady?
Man, if it doesn't say man, it's referred to both.
Yeah, yeah. So, overall our goal is that to become devotee. We don't say, like what we see with our material eye, that oh my god, this is Mataji, this is Prabhuji. It is just a fake for saying that okay, this is Mataji, this is Prabhuji. But actually, we should not even make distinction saying that oh, this is Mataji, this is Prabhuji. We should just accept them as what they are, a devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, and we should serve them with the wholeheartedly. And become, I mean, you know, Krishna conscious, and we should help somebody else to become Krishna conscious. Mm. That should be our motive and that should be our goal. Because when one becomes Krishna conscious, Lord says, Kaunteya Pratijanahi Name Bhakta Panashyati. Please read again, Prabhuji.
Okay. It says that my devotee, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. Son of Kunti, O son of Kunti, declare boldly, my devotee never perishes.
Declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. That mm-hmm. means that his attempt never perishes. Nobody can push him down. Nobody can mess around with him. I mean, you know, we can go on and on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
On.
It's on. You made the point. There's no question about it.
People are, you know, binding them. They're putting him in jail. You know, even we studied the story of Prahlad Maharaj, that Hiranyakashipu did everything what he can in his power to little boy Prahlad, just to, you know, torture this, that, many things. But still, Kaunteya Pratijanami, what? Namai Bhakta Pranashati. You cannot really, you know, curse my devotee. It's not possible.
Yeah.
Why? Because there is a superpower behind him. Who is the superpower? Lord Shri Krishna. And what does Krishna say? I protect my devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we see the story of Ajamil. He is just chanting Narayan, Narayan. And what happened? Right away, four Vishnu Duta came and protected him.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord and his devotee, the Vishnu Duta, no, not just Vishnu Duta, even demigod and everybody, as soon as they find out that this person is devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, what happens? Everybody tries to protect the devotee.
Mm.
You see, so that is the goal of life. Our behavior should be right away that as soon as you detect somebody that this person is a devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, what is our foremost duty? Protect them.
Mm.
Just like somebody calls 911, what happens? If somebody calls 911 over here, okay, then what happens? The police, ambulance, everybody comes to protect you, right?
Mm.
Okay, so same way, if you figure out somebody is a devotee, what happens? Our job is to protect them. Our job is to help them, no matter what happens.
Mm.
So, and that's what Krishna is looking for, you know. I hope I try to answer that it's not a man, it's not a woman, it's not this, it's not that, it's devotee. So, and devotee means please do whatever we can to help whatever we can.
Yeah.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I hope I have not taken up some time. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
I have one more question.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah, ask your question.
Did you mention that you have to have a Guruji in a small town? How you can go and I'm learning Krishna concept, but there is no Guruji. What happened?
Krishna.
Prabhuji, you want to answer that question?
If there's a place where there is no spiritual master, what happens? Well, you have to understand something Krishna has already said. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. And he says by the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. So this isn't something to worry about. Krishna, if you really take the process seriously, Krishna would arrange for you to get guru. Krishna is the one that, yes, he's the one that does that. So your concentration, what you need to concentrate on, is to take the process of devotion service very seriously, and then you can pray to Srila Prabhupada also. Because if your heart is, I would very much like to take shelter of a guru. See, for us, we are limited, but don't compare our capabilities with the capability of Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, and Krishna. They will arrange, if you have, your heart is into this process, they will arrange for you to get guru. And then the guru will guide you to get Krishna. So that's that. No, that short answer to that, don't worry about it.
Sometimes what happens is you may be visiting. Like I have heard many times that sometimes people go to a function, sometimes they meet somewhere. Even in Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Thakur. So his friend asked him, like Prabhupada's friend asked him, oh, come on, I have some good news, there is this sadhu here, and you know, let's go see him, talk to him, things like that. Prabhupada said, just forget it, you know, I don't want to go, I met so many sadhus, I'm not interested, you know. So, but somehow or other, he says, no, this is a different sadhu, he's pretty good, please come see him, this and that, things like that. So then, everybody, you know, they went to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Thakur. What I'm saying is, situation can be very different in the sense that sometimes you are here, sometimes you are visiting India, sometimes visiting somewhere else, sometimes in New York, sometimes in anywhere. And whatever will happen is you may be able to sit down and serve and, you know, meet the sadhu. And Krishna will transfer in your heart that saying that, you know what, I want to take the initiation from this sadhu. And in a sadhu's heart, Krishna will inspire that, you know, please give a diksha to this qualified, you know, person. So it's not that you have to stay in a small town to become devotee, no. you can go from your place to somewhere else, maybe even Canada, maybe even this, maybe even America, some towns, or maybe even India or anywhere, and you may meet somebody just like Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj. So it does not have to be like your place and Guru will come to your place. That's true. But somehow or other, Krishna will make sure that if you are sincere and you want to serve Krishna and you want to go back to home, back to Godhead, so Krishna will make sure somehow or other you meet with Guru, and the transaction of loving exchange will happen with Guru, and somehow or other you'll be pleased, and you will get the diksha and siksha, and what happens is Guru Maharaj is trying to say something or trying to give simple instructions. Sometimes it's very difficult to comprehend, but with the love and devotion, a person can understand and they can carry out. Like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Thakur give an instruction, please go and preach in the West. It's like he gave that instruction long time ago, but then after many years, he was able to meditate on that instruction, and he was able to go to West and preach. So Prabhupada made his life and goal. It's not that I want to go to West and preach, but he made that Guru's instruction that I want to please my Guru Maharaj, and that is why he came to America. So similar to that, you will also have some kind of connection, some kind of thing that, you know, you Guru Maharaj says, oh, please do this, just chant your rounds, you know, so make sure that you just chant your rounds, like anything, you know, whatever the Guru Maharaj says, and that is called total surrender. I just try to give you some enthusiasm, saying that please continue your burning desire much, but just for everybody's pleasure, I'll tell you a little bit. So his Guru Maharaj told Sabri Mata that Ram and Lakshman will come and meet you, you know. So Sabri Mata every day will get up and wait for Lord Ram and Lord Lakshman to come and, you know, greet them. And, you know, she'll get ready as if, you know, she'll be meeting Ram and Lakshman, Lord Ram and Lakshman today. And with great enthusiasm, she'll just carry on her her daily activities as if Lord Ram and Lakshman is coming today. So same way, what we need to do is we need to practice our devotional life such that we compel Krishna that please send me Guru today. So you will get it today. One time I was studying Prabhuji, and I was studying one class, and in the class they were teaching that how to find a job, you know, how to make a resume, how to do this, how to do that, and they says how to find a job. So this teacher told me one thing which really struck me. He says finding a job is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says finding a job is a full-time job. What does that mean? Yeah, you have to get busy. But what does that mean? Finding a job means you are trying to find a job because you have no job. And he says finding a job is a full-time job.
Prabhuji means that, you know, even if like you're dedicating all your time the whole day just to find a job. It's like you're doing a job to find a job.
Yeah. It means you are trying to find a job, but you're trying to work a whole day just to find where is the job, and like 24 hours a day you're just trying to work on it, where is the job, you know, something like that. So what I'm trying to say to you is you work in such a manner so Krishna is compelled that, oh my God, I have to give this guy a guru right away because he is looking for a job. He is looking for me. Okay, Prabhuji, I think I have tried to cover your answer on best of my capability. I hope that I made some contribution and a little help.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you gave a good lecture on your ability to explain to the people who are not much related to the concept, and I really appreciate your help. Can you please tell me
well,
I did not understand your question. Can you please repeat that?
No, I said that you're great and you teach and explain to us like simple questions. You are you can give your introduction, what you're doing in your own song.
I currently stay in Chicago, Prabhuji. My name is Paji Govindam Das. I originally came from India, Gujarat, what is the other question you have?
That's all. I just wanted to know that, I think that you give a very good class. That's why I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Now, Prabhuji gave a very wonderful class. Actually, I was just trying to help out on a couple points because I want to share a few things with all the devotees. But thank you for tolerating me. And it's just this issue of a woman, they just try to push all the ladies down so bad, saying that, oh my God, you are just so, nonsense, and you are not capable, and this and that, and things like that.
not consider yourself that, because you're Mataji, so you're just low, and Prabhuji, so you're big, and this and that. And I was just trying to prove to everybody from Lord's version and Lord's vision himself that the Lord do not distinguish between Matajis and Prabhujis and this and that and things like that. Lord does say that Kante Pratijanami Name Bhakta Pranashati, that, you know, if you are devotee, sure, no problem. But if you are not devotee, no matter how powerful you may be, but you will be vanquished in no time. So I encourage everybody to pick up on devotional service and, you know, try to... we can never say that we are devotee. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that Bhupi Jana Pada Kamala Dasa Dasanu Dasa. Mm-hmm. We are just nothing but assistant, you know, assistant for devotee. And that's what we want to be. How can I become devotee? I just want to assist somebody to become devotee. Or I just want to assist somebody to do their project, to their vision, you know, something, you know. It's nice to be assistant, you know. I mean, I like to also play that role, like sometimes people are cooking. So there is a chief cook and then there is assistants, right? Or no? I mean, you know, you go to temples, you go anywhere. Sometimes you are chief cook and sometimes you are assistant, you know. And it's also nice to cut the potato and cut the sabji and roll that puris and everything. You know, I get the same pleasure or more than the cook. Sometimes we go to Janmashtami, we cook for Prabhupada and, you know, sometimes I just make a little garland and offer to Lord, but I'm not doing all the service, just a little service, and I've become very happy just assisting, and that's all. And we can never be, and there is just always one grand cook, and there is one master, and that's what we have to see, that Krishna is a master. And gopis are the masters, and we are their assistants, and we are happy to be that. And over here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jai Gaura Bhaktavinda, that we want to give all credits to Gauranga Mahaprabhu Nityananda Rai and all his devotees, and we have to work in such a manner so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes happy and by assisting each other. So that is just my, I guess, conclusion, that we are not really, that I am not a man and I am not a woman. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Gaura Prabhupada. I wanted to add more, but I'm looking at the time also, so maybe for another time. Anybody has any more comments or questions? Okay, Shyam, yes, yeah.
I have another question.
Yes. When we take this, first of all, we're told actually that, you know, you should go to the ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, then vanapras, then sannyas, because life really is about ultimately dedicating our lives fully to Krishna consciousness. And the sannyas ashram especially is the one that's 100% devoted to Krishna consciousness. 100% devoted to Krishna consciousness. So, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, but he didn't take sannyas like in a sense of ignoring the family, when a person takes sannyas, they have to make sure that the family is well situated also. Now, he doesn't talk about that so much, in, you know, because he was more concerned about preaching Krishna consciousness than talking about his own family. But definitely, he made arrangements first. He left, but they made arrangements. It wasn't like they were going to be homeless because he was gone. No, he did in fact make material arrangements for them, so they made it okay. Okay, so yes, that's there. Again, we can expand on it some more, because sometimes, you see, Prabhupada is giving so much mercy that he even says that it is not absolutely necessary now to even take sannyas. If a man and his wife are helping 100% devoted to Krishna consciousness, they can stay in the grihastha ashram for the rest of their lives. So, yes, sannyas, but he had a duty though. If you talk about Srila Prabhupada, he had a duty to obey his guru and spread Krishna consciousness. And it wasn't that he wanted to take sannyas only. He actually wanted his wife to come with him. His wife said no. It's his wife that refused. And that's why he left. And then, of course, you know, the rest is history, as wonderful spiritual history from there. So he didn't ignore necessarily. His wife didn't want to come with him. That's one thing, you know, because he wanted to do it with his wife. So, yes, sannyasi means now you're full-time, without any family responsibility, taking care of, you know, your life in the Bhakti Yoga fashion. So that obviously was a great deal helpful to him. But it was a situation where his wife could have come if she wanted to. So he wanted to make that point. Hare Krishna. And he didn't ignore his family. Materially they were taken care of. They were definitely taken care of. Any other comments or questions? Oh, no problem, no problem at all. We are here. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? And Bhakti Govinda Prabhu, I think you really ought to be preaching, you know, a whole, you know, time given to you. Talk to Sam Sika Mataji about it, because it would be nice to hear you preach. But any other questions or comments? Okay, maybe we can end here. Is that okay, Shambhushika Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this wonderful question and session.
Yeah, we've had two features today.
It was so late,
Prabhuji,
so sorry for that.
That's okay.
Thank you so much for the
answering
such nice questions.
Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy, so Krishna's mercy.
Thank you
for tolerating me. Yeah.